Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is a single verse, the last verse of the Holy Gospel, which I'll read again for our hearing. Jesus said, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of our Lord given to us this morning. Please be seated. My dearest brothers in Christ Jesus, there's an old nursery rhyme that probably many of us remember, and maybe some of you may not like it, because it goes like this. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? I grew up with a Mary, and she didn't like this because people would always ask her, "How's your garden growing today, Mary?" She got rather sick of it. But if we think about it, how does Mary's garden grow? It depends on a number of things, doesn't it? Not the least of which is the condition of the soil. So it is with the Christian. So it is with our growth as a Christian man, Christian woman, Christian child. It's the condition, it's the attitude of the soil, the condition, the attitude of the heart. This is very critical in spiritual growth and fruitfulness. So in this last verse of our Holy Gospel this morning, let's look at three aspects of what Jesus is talking about. And first is the good soil hears the word. Good soil hears the converting word. And that word is given to us, written here for us, in the Bible, in His holy word. The converting word is God's first intervention into your life. Just as you heard with the children, that intervention came and you may not even know it or recall it. I know I don't, because it happened over there. It happened at the font. "I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's the power of God's word. That's His first intervention into your life. And with that baptism, Peter says this, "You have been born again, not with perishable seed, but with imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." So what does this converting word of God do for the soil of your heart? It transforms. It transforms that which was once evil into good. For Scripture tells us that when we are born prior to our baptism, we are children of perdition. We have that stain of original sin. And then God comes to us in the Word and in the waters of holy baptism. That bad soil, that acidic soil, that soil will not produce anything, is converted. It's transformed. It's changed. It's given a different attitude. It's made into good soil by the Word. And this converting Word is God's power unto salvation, unto your salvation. Paul writes to the Romans in the first chapter and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Dear ones, good soil hears the sanctifying word. In His sanctifying word, God is continuously calling for you to grow. In a sanctifying word, God is continuously calling you to service. What does Paul write to the Ephesians? He tells us what our purpose in life is. Our purpose in life doesn't come from a book that's written by some fella in California, and he tells us that we have a purpose-driven life. No. The purpose is written in this book, written by various men, but written by the Holy Spirit. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is constantly calling you to service. How does He do this? It's called our vocation. What is your vocation? Your vocation is many and various. It's father, it's mother, grandfather, grandmother. It's aunt, uncle, son, daughter, employee, employer, farmer. Yes, a farmer is even a vocation, for you are providing a service to your fellow, not only Christians, but to your fellow human beings. And yes, kids, young people, no matter your age, as a son or daughter, that's also a vocation. And in that vocation, we are called to serve. We are called to serve those of whom we love, for that's what love is. It's sacrificing ourselves for them. And God is constantly calling us to do this. He's constantly calling us to grow in His Word so that we can continue to serve and to serve and to serve. For we are His workmanship. That started right there at the font. It started right there at the font when you heard the words, "In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit." We were then created for good works. And those good works are all that you do in your vocation. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning to go out and to milk. Getting up at the middle of the night to change your infant's diaper or to feed your infant. Providing for your family, fathers. Taking care of your family, mothers. And children, obeying your parents. Doing all that God has given you to do. As a student, to do your homework and to obey your teacher. Not only to obey your parents, but to obey all who are placed in authority over you. And that's not only for students, it's for all of us also. For we know that our ultimate authority is found in here, God Himself. And God tells us what we are to be about, that we are to be growing in His Word, and that we are continuously to be doing those good works of which He has created us. Good soil hears the Word and then does what the Word says. Secondly, good soil understands the Word. The Word is understood only through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why baptism is so important. Prior to baptism, the Holy Spirit. After baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet we know, you and I must admit, that our sinful human nature stands against God. We oppose the truth of God's Word. That's what old Adam does. We know that is sin. Yes, we sin against God by breaking each and every commandment. You break them and I break them. And ultimately, the greatest opposition that you and I have against God is making ourselves God, placing ourselves above the One who has created us, who has shaped us, who has made us His workmanship, who has called us not only to grow but to serve. Those who refuse to grow, those who refuse to serve, they are opposing the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit will always lead us to hear the Word, to partake of the Word, and to serve our fellow man in our vocation. But Paul also reminds the Romans, as he reminds us, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, It cannot. You see, dear ones, when you received the Holy Spirit, your heart was converted. Your heart was made soft so that the seed of the Word could be planted in you. And then God does the watering. He does the watering through the proclamation of His Word, through body and blood. And it's by this that we begin to understand and to know what His Word tells us that we are to be about. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who leads us to the cross. It leads us to our knees. He is the one who leads us to confess our sins, to repent of our sins. And then it is He who gives us ears to hear when Jesus says, I have shed my blood for you. Your sin is forgiven. And in that faith that He also continues to build within us, to nourish within us, that faith tells us that word is true. It is true that Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood for you, and because He has done this great work, you are an heir, just as these young ones are heirs. Heirs of the kingdom by what Jesus has done, not by what we do. Yes, the word is understood. It is always understood in the light of the cross. The theology of the cross, the theology of the cross alone reflects the truth of God in Christ Jesus, your Savior. The theology of the cross alone produces the fruit that God so desires in your life. And what is the theology of the cross? Salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Thirdly, and lastly, good soil lives the Word. The Word is lived, dear ones, through an inward change of attitudes. As we continue to grow in the Word, in that process we know as sanctification, being set apart, being fed by the preached Word, by body and blood, we know that we are continually being nourished by God, and our faith grows and grows and grows, and it produces 100-fold, or 60-fold, or 30. It's this inward attitude toward God that is changed within us. It's the inward attitude toward our neighbor that is also changed within us. I read this past week that Christians, this may surprise you, Christians are more tolerant than atheists. Yet they tell us that we Christians are intolerant, that we're bigoted, that we're closed-minded. And this was a study that wasn't done in a Christian nation. It was done in Holland, in the Dutch. Holland known as a humanistic society. Christians are more tolerant than atheists. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Surprise to them, it should not be a surprise to us. For there at the font, once again, is when your attitude was changed. Not only toward God, but towards your neighbor. The word is lived out through outward response. The outward response of a Christian towards God is worship. That's why you're here. You're here to worship the one who has saved you, who has washed you, who feeds you. He not only does He feed you by body and blood, but also by the preached word. That's our outward response. For He is the worthy one. He is the very Lamb of God who has taken away all your sin. The outward response of a Christian toward his neighbor has also changed. For we as his children, we are now willing and able to serve our neighbor with those good works which I've just alluded to. Yes, mothers, you probably never realized that waking up 2 in the morning to feed your infant and to change his or her diaper is a good work. But God sees it as you providing service to his child. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the culmination of what we are, as Christians, are to be about. We are to, must be always willing to serve, no matter the situation, no matter the time. Our life is one of service, and our life is also one of worship. So then, as we now end, we end knowing that it is God who has prepared the soil of our heart. It is He who has planted His Word into our heart. It is He who has watered that seed by the waters of holy baptism and the preached word and the body and blood. And He continues to nourish that seed as it continues to grow and to grow and to grow in your lives. It is God who produces fruit in your life so that you can be fruitful 100, 60, or 30-fold. And sometimes you don't even realize it that you're doing it. And that is a blessing in and of itself. All of this, dear one, is made possible by the work of His Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come to save you from all your sin, from death, and from the power of the evil one. It is Jesus who proclaims to each of you today that you are His dear child and that you are an heir of His heavenly kingdom. All of this He has done for you out of His divine good and mercy. So now He declares to you, because of His shed blood, because of His resurrection, because of His ascension, because He is coming for you, because of His great love and service to each and every one of you, that all your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.